There are many things that I am proud about being a Tennessean. I know that there are great people in every corner of every place, but home is home, and your people are your people. One of the Nashvillians I am proudest of is Episcopal priest Becca Stevens, who runs Thistle Farms. She founded Thistle Farms to address the needs of women who are survivors of addiction, trafficking, and prostitution. The two-year residential program helps women create new lives through counseling, education, and job training. Their motto is Love Heals, and it has been at Thistle Farms for over 20 years now. And Thistle Farms has grown to serve women around the United States and around the world. Stevens travels frequently, and she brings with her women who are about to graduate from the program. Their stories are powerful and humbling. Stephen tells of one woman she was traveling with, a survivor of abuse and life on the streets. The woman was so anxious about giving her speech to the group that they were visiting, she rewrote it over and over again on the plane, in the hotel, the morning of the speech. So the morning of the speech, Stevens and the woman arrive at the community to speak. Becca Stevens got up and said, "This is making me nervous. I think it will go much better for her and for us if we just go ahead and cut to the chase and give her a standing ovation now." And they did. And the woman began weeping, and the audience, Stevens says that the audience was just a big love fest without any words. The woman's witness to the healing power of love without one single word being said was enough. This story reminds me of today's gospel reading, a preemptive ovation and witness to what God's love can do. As the reading opens, Mary has just learned from Gabriel that she has been chosen for some unimaginable work, that she would be bringing the Son of God into this world. So, the text says, she went with haste to see her cousin Elizabeth, who she had also learned was pregnant by the miraculous power of God. I feel like there's a little bit more to the story here than Mary simply making haste to go see Elizabeth. Because I can tell you, if I was in Mary's situation, it wouldn't be making haste, it would be hightailing it to see Elizabeth. When Mary arrives to see Elizabeth, she calls out to her in greeting. And at hearing the sound of Mary's voice, Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. Elizabeth exclaims with a loud cry, I'm sure in part because of the wallop she got from within. Here it is, a preemptive standing ovation. Before the story of Jesus even really begins, before he is born, before he starts preaching and teaching, before the miracles, the child in Elizabeth's womb gives his own version of a standing ovation for Jesus. I would guess that this ovation was to Elizabeth's wonder and delight and discomfort. Elizabeth's baby, the boy who would be called John the Baptist, knows exactly who Jesus is and jumps with joy at the very nearness to the Son of God. And then Mary prays the prayer we heard, known as the Magnificat. It is the prayer of someone who knows the proximity of the love and grace of God, a prayer that calls out to those who are in need that help is on the way, a prayer that points out to those who live in power and comfort the changes that God's justice and love will bring. I love every beautiful word of this prayer. Mary prays with clarity, seeing the work that God is already doing, the work the child she is bringing into the world will be a part of. She prays with confidence that God's grace is meant for all, and that means all y'all, y'all there in the back, not necessarily the ones at the front of the line. As much as I love this prayer, I find myself in a particularly difficult spot when I read it because of the life I lead today. I'm someone who's had too much to eat already today. who sleeps in a warm bed, in a more than adequate house. I speak to you as someone who has enough power to navigate the world relatively well, and when I can't, there are support systems of loved ones who prop me up. I know that at any given moment, my honestly easy life could be upended, but I do not want to blindly find comfort in this prayer when I am not necessarily the one being comforted. In this dis-ease that I feel, I am reminded of a prayer that I learned at Catholic school, the Hail Mary prayer. It's a prayer I think of often. It's the one I turn to first when I'm in distress or confusion. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. In a recent newsletter, Lutheran pastor and writer Nadia Boltz-Weber points out that we often forget that the prayer of Mary does not signal her virtue, but her grace. Hail Mary, full of grace. Boltz-Weber says, I think this is exactly what Mary understood, that what qualifies us for God's grace isn't our goodness. What qualifies us for God's grace is nothing more than our need for God's grace. It's through this offering of God's grace I find myself a place in Mary's Magnificat. Grace. We are given hope through the grace of this baby we are waiting on this season. This baby that Mary carries, this baby that John knows before he's even born. I do not think I will ever come to a peace about the disparities in this life. And if I did, I think I would be getting it wrong. Each of us is called upon to recognize what Mary is praying, that God is about making things right in this world, even if we are not the ones who are in need of the righting. For me, there are no easy answers for how I am to respond to living a life where I know I have more than I need, and I know that my neighbors do not. But I pray that through God's grace, I will learn to respond as God would want me to. And the best place I know to start is by seeing God's grace at work in the lives of others, just like Mary does. And in doing this, I can be reminded when it is not my turn, knowing that in God's economy of grace, my place at the front of the line is not necessarily where he would have me stay, and that getting out of the way for his work to be done is often what is in order. I can be ready and waiting to jump up with a preemptive standing ovation by seeing God's grace in all those around me, like the people in the crowd responding to the woman from Thistle Farms, or better yet, like John, leaping with joy at the nearness of Jesus. There is grace for each of the women at Thistle Farms today, and grace for the women who live on the streets still. There is grace for the immigrant waiting to find a home. Grace for the one waiting for the medicine to work. For the one who gives her child the food and goes hungry herself. For the children being picked up to go into foster care this morning. And grace for the ones who need to be picked up but aren't. Grace for the angsty teenager who lashes out and doesn't mean to. For the prisoners, both the innocent and the guilty. For those whose anger consumes their lives, and grace for those who continue to love them anyway. Grace for the kid in junior high who never gets picked for the team, and for the one who simply cannot pick up the phone to make that call. Grace for the college kid who has to tell his parents he failed out this semester, for the father who's been looking for work for over a year. Grace for the couple who wants to be parents and can't find a way to make it happen. And grace for the parents who have a child whom they love dearly but do not know what to do for. Grace for the lonely who do not know how very much they are loved. Grace for us all. Hail Mary, full of grace. May we all come to know the nearness of Christ.